Well, the last few weeks have been very busy, I'm sure for a lot of you as well as me. My oldest grandchild graduated from high school yesterday. Can't believe that she's old enough to graduate and be heading off to Virginia Tech this fall. But it's been a time of celebration. It's been a time, a little bit of time of sadness. Of course, I cry easily. My children have always laughed and said, "Don't pay attention to Mama, she cries at the opening of a filling station," which is not far off. And I know my son said when they were building sheets and it was so big, he says, "Lord, Mama's not going to be fit for nothing for a whole week when they open that one." But it is a time of change, and it's a time not just of graduation, but changes in our life. We're preparing, some people are preparing to move that have waited for school to be out, to change locations because of jobs or retirement or moving closer to children. We have lots and lots of young people in this area. I was amazed she graduated from Wilson. I was also at Stewart's Draft graduation on Friday night. How many young people just in those two schools were going out to start their life? And it's, I think it's a good time to think about the children of Israel as they left Egypt. They also were starting out a new, different, many of those, most of those people had never known anything but slavery and being under the control of someone else, much like our high school students. And suddenly here they are, heading out to the promised land, unknown. They didn't know where they were going. They didn't know how they were going to get there other than walk. And yet they had faith enough to start out. But then as they got along, and we'll talk about it this morning, you know, like most of us, things weren't quite as wonderful and idealistic and romantic as we had imagined them to be. And so they started to become unhappy. And at that point, God had to teach them several lessons that we won't go into all of them today. But he had to show them that sometimes we have to go through, climb the mountains to get to the valleys in our life. Celebrations and suffering often go hand in hand. Work and vacation, kids and messes, miraculously designed bodies and major medical issues that we've all faced, the gift of education, and for all of you students out there, mandatory test. We have homes to live in and costly home repairs. The list is just endless. It just goes on and on and on. Joy and suffering, celebration and sadness. And somewhere in the midst of the joy and the demands all tangled up with them exist our needs and our desires that we long to have filled. Some are basic physical needs, food, shelter, clothing, safety. Others are relational, love, the connection with someone else or with a group as a congregation. Belonging somewhere. And still others are even deeper. And those are the spiritual needs that we all have of the meaning and the purpose of our life. Now, what form they take, as we all know, are as unique as each one of us. But the reality of their existence in all of us is universal. That leads me to two universal questions that we're going to look at today. One of them is, to whom do we look to meet and satisfy our deepest longings? And the second one is, on whom do we depend when it comes to satisfying our deepest needs and longings? Now, I know that for the most part, we are gathered here as a group of believers. We have given our hearts and our minds and our souls to following Christ. We're seeking to live that life on that fine line of what God has planned for us. And I think for those of us who are coming from a faith perspective, we come knowing that we are called to follow Jesus. We are called to depend on God to satisfy our needs. We are called to trust in Him, and we do, most of the time. But it's hard. At least for me it is, and I'm sure it is for many of you, sometimes to really live what I say I believe. It's really hard when the demands of life are staring me down. It's so easy to operate as if I was the only one I can rely on to take care of me. Somehow we sometimes can get caught up in this thought process that says God is concerned with the biggest pictures and not the little things that I'm dealing with on a day-to-day basis. I'm it. I need to take care of it. I need to pull my load. I need to do my share. I need to take care of things. And I'm sure those are thoughts that we have said and thought many times, probably, throughout our life. Now, our theology tells us not to do that. But isn't that how we often live? Captive. We live a captive life, skewed perspective, making it absolutely crucial that we dive into Scripture and we surround ourselves with God's Word and God's people. Here we see a very different message. Just look at our verse today, John 6:35, where Jesus says, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. And whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." So what does this do to that skewed perspective that we all have? I am the bread of life. Friends, Jesus is telling us that He is present. He can satisfy those deepest longings and desires that we have. He is enough. He is enough. And He is always with us, no matter what demands are staring us down. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that we're going to go on our front lawn every morning and find that day's supply of food. Or when the bill collectors call, that they are going to accept you telling them, "Well, Jesus is going to take care of it." But what God is telling us, what Christ is telling us and trying to make us learn is, if we will bury ourselves in the Scripture, if we will think and pray and spend our time with other folks who also pray and bury, God will help us come up with a way to solve our problems. We've all had that little voice that somewhere in us has said, well, you know, if you do this, sometimes we listen. Sometimes it's like that old commercial with the devil on one shoulder and the angel on the other, and we just kind of do this and say, you know, I can handle this. No matter how much joy or suffering or pain or celebration we're experiencing. And you know, that's a tremendous gift. To know that he listens to the little things. He cares about the little things. We need to remember always to seek the giver and not the gift. Now, while our physical needs and our desires are important to Jesus, it's not about what we get from him. Don't we often come to Jesus looking for something other than Jesus himself? Hoping that somehow he'll meet our needs and he'll follow our agenda. We kind of, in our minds, say, hey, come along with me, Jesus. I have all of this under control. You don't have to do anything. That's human nature. But we must not make the mistake of just seeking the gift, because the gift is only temporary. We need to seek the giver, who is eternal. Back up a little bit to verse 27. Do not work for the food that spoils, which is our everyday food, but for food which endures the eternal life, who is the Son of Man who gives this to you. On him, God the Father has placed his seal and his approval. The seal of approval is referring back to John chapter 1, where John is baptizing Jesus. And what does God say in that seal? This is my Son, of whom I am proud. Simply put, Jesus is the one God has chosen as the agent for offering life-giving, soul-satisfying, eternal nourishment. He's it. And thankfully, he can be enough. Seek the giver, not the gift. But from our human earthly perspective, don't we often ponder the question, God is offering me something, but don't I have to earn it somehow? If you do a quick search of the Gospels, you will find bread referenced often as an answer to that question. For example, in Matthew 4:4, Jesus was responding to the devil in the wilderness after he was baptized when he said, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." Now, we often hear "by bread alone." But what Christ is saying there, on bread alone, is the physical bread. We cannot live on just the physical bread. We need the physical. But on every word that comes from the mouth of God. So Jesus indicates early on that there is more to this life than just physical bread. In the Lord's Prayer, Jesus says to pray like this, "Give us today our daily bread." We're encouraged to pray for bread, which represents our basic daily needs. Right before his death, Jesus broke bread and he shared a cup with his disciples. And as a reminder of his sacrifice in Luke 22:19, and he took bread, he gave thanks, and he broke it, and he gave it to them saying, "This is my body given to you. Do this in remembrance of me." Bread is a powerful metaphor for what we need to survive in this life and in the next. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled with So we are told that if we hunger for the right things, we will be satisfied. But if we hunger for the wrong things, we will never, ever be satisfied. So the key questions this morning are, what are you hungry for? Are you hungry for his provision or for his person? It seems that most people are hungry for God's provisions, but there is so much more that Jesus wants to offer us. And the second question is, are you hungry for the temporary or for the eternal? In today's culture, we choose most often and we chase the temporary, fame, fortune, hobbies. When we get money, we want more. With our leisure, we take more and more time to make ourselves happy, only to find out many times in the end that we still aren't very happy. We are never content, and the grass is always greener somewhere else. John 6:47 says, I tell you the truth. He who believes hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your forefathers ate the manna in the desert, yet they died. The physical. But here is the bread that comes down from heaven, which a man may eat and not die. The spiritual. In other words, the manna from heaven the children of Israel received was temporary, and it had a temporary effect. Jesus is saying that the bread from heaven is who we are to take hold of. And in doing so, we will never die. We are promised eternal life. True satisfaction and true everlasting life is found in focusing on the eternal, not the temporary. And lastly this morning, the other question is, are you hungry for the things that satisfy you, or are you hungry for the things that satisfy God? Are you sowing to self, or are you sowing to God? Many folks who follow the provision and power of Jesus struggle with his demands to sacrifice the flesh to benefit the spirit. Nowhere does it promise as believers that we will have this easy life. We all have one level of turmoil, hurt, pain, sorrow. We all, every single one of us in our lives, have something that we have to deal with. But if we depend on Christ and depend on God, we can handle most anything that life sends us. Friends, just like Jesus' earliest followers, I think it's so easy for us to take our eyes off of what's really important, off of the things that really matter. We take our eyes off of those things to focus on the earthly longings and earthly desires. It's so easy to seek the gift instead of the giver. I'm convinced that Jesus is assuring us that life at its best is found only in him, that he is the bread of life, he is enough. Praise God, he is enough. What Christ offers to us is nothing less than himself. And what he asks for us is nothing less than all of who we are. Sounds simple. but to surrender to Him. Believing, trusting, confident that He is enough to satisfy. That's what He's asking. He is our bread from heaven. And in closing, I want to read a thing I found on the internet. It was first published in the University Presbyterian magazine. And it's not by bread alone. Man does not live by bread alone, but by beauty and harmony, truth and goodness, work and recreation, affection and friendship, aspiration and worship. Not by bread alone, but by the splendor of the firmament at night, the glory of the heavens at dawn, the blending of colors at sunset, the loveliness of magnolia trees, the magnificence of mountains. Not by bread alone, but by the majesty of ocean breakers, the shimmer of moonlight on a cool, calm lake, the flashing silver of a mountain torrent, the exquisite patterns of snow crystals, the creation of artists. Not by bread alone, but by the sweet song of a mockingbird, the rustle of the wind in the trees, the magic of a violin, the sublimity of a softly lighted cathedral. Not by bread alone, but by the fragrance of roses, the scent of orange blossoms, the smell of newborn hay, the clasp of a friend's hand, the tenderness of a mother's kiss. Not by bread alone, but by the lyrics of poets, the wisdom of sages, the holiness of saints, the biographies of great souls. Not by bread alone, but by comradeship and high adventure, seeking and finding, serving and sharing, loving and being loved. Man does not live by bread alone, but by being faithful in prayer, responding to the guidance of the Holy Spirit, finding and doing the loving will of God, now and eternally. Amen and amen.